Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack,
hey.
Back in studio with us after 2 months with Worldview Academy camps around the United States.
On the road, my team went west. We have three teams, and my team went from Oklahoma to Arizona to California to Oregon and Washington, and it was a road trip. It was a road trip.
I heard from somebody who attended up in Oregon, Washington. They
really?
Said they really enjoyed it, except for that one bald guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guest speaker we had in that day.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to have you back in studio,
it's
Bill.
It's good to be. I love what you've done to the place.
It's messier than it was.
Yeah,
you notice you had to trip over these signs as you walked in.
I noticed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to clean it up within the next 6 months.
Sure,
that's
you
the
will.
Plan.
Sure,
well,
you will.
Today we're going to talk about socialist medicine and what's going on with Charlie Gard. But first of all, what in the world is happening in the United States? We're following the footsteps of Britain, Bill. The Republicans had an opportunity to squash Obamacare this last week, and they blinked. Again, the Republicans blinked. Does that surprise
you? Don't get me started.
Does that surprise you?
They didn't blink. They just shut their eyes.
Yeah, and went to sleep.
That's right.
Well, they had an opportunity to oppose Obamacare, but it was a straight repeal vote. So it was just simply, let's repeal.
Which they've been preaching for the past 7 years.
Yeah.
Have they not? We're going to get in.
So.
And that's how John McCain got reelected.
Mm-hmm.
His whole deal was, we're going to repeal Obamacare. The government shouldn't be involved in this. Once he gets elected, what does he do? He flip-flops.
Well, it's seven senators, yeah, John McCain included, opposed Obamacare, and their names, I think, will go down into history because this is the opportunity to reverse a socialist medical approach that Obama, President Obama, a very liberal Democrat, imposed upon the nation. And thankfully, there is the Christian Medical Sharing Ministry option, and we always recommend SamaritanMinistries.org on this program.
Yes.
Be sure that you get out from under the pro-abortion, pro-abortifacient socialist medical approach that Obamacare has imposed on the nation. Well, the seven senators that have proved themselves to be unwilling to go after the evil root and branch, Senators Shelley Moore Capito, Susan Collins from Maine, no surprise there.
Really? I'm shocked.
Lisa Murkowski.
No, I'm shocked.
No, we knew they would go that direction. John McCain.
No, shocked again.
John McCain, yeah. John McCain, one of the rhinos. Lamar Alexander also, and also Rob Portman and Dean Heller. Their names will go down into history as those that was on board the pro-socialist, pro-communist approach to government controlling every aspect of our lives, including medical care. Just talk to Charlie Gard's parents if you want to understand something of the concerns of what happens when governments control and governments fund the medical care for your children. Well, these are the rhinos. Now, you've heard the expression rhino, Bill.
Yeah, it's those are endangered species in Africa, but in here they're flourishing.
Sadly.
They're flourishing. I mean, you know, they're endangered in Africa because the horn, because there's the myth that the horn provides, you know, some kind of aphrodisiac or and so it's a health issue in Africa.
But they're
so
all over the place here.
Yeah, it's a health issue here too.
Yeah.
It's bad for your health.
Yeah.
To be
rhinos are Republicans in name only.
Yeah.
Which means they're Republicans, but they don't agree with the basic tenets of the Republican platform, and they're committed socialists. Now, I think the reason why they vote against this is because, generally speaking, they are committed socialists, and they're just running in conservative districts, and they turn out to be
wolves
in sheep's
clothing. Yeah,
there
but we
go.
Need to cut off their horns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's we need to cut off the rhino's horns.
Now, the other possibility with rhinos is they're fearful and unprincipled. They're afraid of losing votes in the next election. So that's possible as well. Another possibility for the rhino is they're being controlled by other forces. I think people need to understand that those who run for U.S. Senate are effectively running on the money that they receive in their campaigns. They're being controlled by those who fund the $100 million or whatever it takes to run a U.S. Senate campaign these days.
They're merely lobbyists for whomever funds their campaign.
Right,
exactly. And that's the sad part about the electoral system as it has evolved. And that's one of the interesting things I find about the Trump presidency is because he's not so far beholden to any so-called special interest group. And that makes him dangerous to the establishment.
Right. And the establishment, the wealthy are those that fund the U.S. Senate campaigns around the country. And so many of these people are puppets. And so they'll vote according to whatever the establishment tells them to do. These Republicans are pretty much giving up on the possibility of repealing Obamacare now. There is almost no possibility of unity within the Republican Party. And the Senate Education Committee Chairman Lamar Alexander has said he's going to develop a bipartisan plan with the Democrats now. So they're giving up on the Republicans. They're forget about the conservative Republicans. So the liberal Republicans, that is Lamar Alexander and the moderate senators, are going to be working with the Democrats in order to find a way to salvage Obamacare. Obamacare itself has been something of a disaster, but they're going to find a way to salvage Obamacare such that socialism and some form of communism is maintained in the United States of America.
Let's find a way to fix the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if we can patch the hole in the Hindenburg after it's gone down.
The problem with socialism is, yes, at some point you run out of other people's money. But the other problem, the more principled issue, is that you take away personal responsibility and destroy the character of the nation. So the destruction of the character of the millennial generation comes through socialism, socialist schools, socialist control of all aspects of life. Yes, you run out of other people's money. That's the economic problem with socialism, but the social problem is that you destroy and undermine the work ethic and the character of an entire nation. And that's the direction the nation is going. And so these liberal Republicans and the Democrats will do their best to destroy this nation. It's not a surprise entirely to me that the Republicans, that there is a liberal Republican wing in the U.S. Senate. And they just don't have the will to push back on President Barack Obama. They're head over heels in love with President Obama and certainly do not want to see anything of a Republican revolution happening. They do not have the will to fight. And that's what you can say about the John McCain's and the Lamar Alexanders of the U.S. Senate. Now, according to the polls, 34% of Republicans are pro-abortion, 33% of Republicans are pro-homosexual. And if you're going to reduce the size of government, repeal Obamacare, or reverse Planned Parenthood spending, you're going to need then 65 Republicans' votes in the Senate, given that at least 33% are going to be pro-abortion, or they're not going to have the principled backbone to oppose a liberal agenda. So I think, Bill, what you need is you're going to need at least 65 to 66 votes in the U.S. Senate if you're going to back down on some of these liberal agenda issues.
Now, wait a minute, Kevin. We first heard from the Republicans during this past 7-8 years that, hey, we can't do anything because we only control the House.
It's just but rhetoric.
Now, if we can control the Senate, then we can get things done. But then after they control the Senate, we don't have the presidency. Now they control all three branches. And so now you're suggesting that if we just had 65 votes in the Senate, and I'm going to suggest that ain't going to happen. And it does, even if it does happen, it's not going to change anything until we change the worldview of the Republican Party.
And the worldview of the people.
And the worldview of the people. That's what you have to start with in order to get elected officials who think biblically about these issues.
That's right. One conservative president and 51 Republicans in the U.S. Senate is not going to work, friends. Just it will not work. We're going to continue to see America become that brave new world that endorses homosexual marriage, abortion, abortifacients, contraceptives funded by your tax dollars, and a forced socialist medicine system in America. What is life going to be like under Obamacare and a socialist medical system? Just check out the U.K. We're going to talk about that next on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together, Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Bill Jack also in studio from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to talk about the case of Charlie Gard. What would life be like if government had control over the medical decisions of your family? Remember, what the government funds, the government controls. And as we turn over the control of the medical issues in our family to government, you're going to find that government's going to make call the shots because they're the ones paying the bills. Friends, this is so obvious, but this is not the issue that is brought up very much in the discussion on Charlie Gard. Let's put us into 2022, and a young couple is pregnant, and she's tested with amniocentesis and finds that the baby in utero has Down syndrome. And of course, at that point, there will be a decision made by some guy in the 25th story of some building in Washington, D.C., and he's going to call the shots as to what happens. He's going to say, you abort that child or not a dime for that child's birth, not a dime for that child's medical care for any year that he lives right here in this world. You are not going to get any money from government for this. You must abort the child, and you must abort the child now. What the government funds, the government controls, and the government calls the shots, and in 95% of the cases, you know those little children with Down syndrome will be aborted. Why? Because there's going to be the medical decisions made by these government officials. What the government funds, the government controls, and that is what goes on with the Charlie Gard case. But the Charlie Gard case has become one of the most publicized issues for the pro-life cause and pro-parental rights cause since Terri Schiavo. This is interesting, Bill. This has awakened the interest of hundreds of millions of people around the world, even to the point that the Pope and President Trump waded in on the issue and tried to do the best they could to support the parents of Charlie Gard.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder how President Obama would have responded to this.
I doubt if he would have.
He would have ignored
it. I doubt
it.
If he would have, said anything at all. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump waded in upon it. And again, another indication that our president is concerned about life issues, much more so than we thought he was going to be a year ago, but it appears that God's doing something. It's interesting also that there's a Bible study going on in the White House.
I was just thinking
right
about
now.
That.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Vice President Pence.
Yes.
And others who
That's
are
right.
in the cabinet. This is at cabinet level.
That's right. That's right. 12 members yep. of the president's cabinet are involved in a biblical Bible study.
A weekly Bible study.
Yeah, I've taken a look at the site also that sponsors this Bible study, and it seems fairly solid. Okay, well, the case of Charlie Gard is very interesting. He was born with mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome last November, I believe it was. In February, the hospital made a decision to withdraw the ventilator. And in April 11th of this year, the judge determined to pull the ventilator and reduce the child to palliative care. That happened on April 11th. Then the parents appealed. On May 25th, the appeal failed and then appealed again to the European High Court. And that appeal failed as well. And on July 27th, that is just a few weeks ago, the High Court ruled that Charlie Gard should be removed to a special children's hospice and mechanical ventilation withdrawn. He was transferred to a hospice the same day. The next day, his mother announced at 6:30 p.m. that he had died. And that would have been just a few days ago. All right, my friends, on January 30th, this is very important, too, in the story on Charlie Gard. On January 30th, the parents launched an appeal on the crowdfunding web source GoFundMe, and they pulled together £1.3 million. For an experimental treatment in the United States, and they had reached their target within 2 months. Now, see, that's key. That's really, really key, my friends. That's different than forcing government to pay for it. This is an opportunity taken by the parents to raise funding, private funding, voluntary funding for their child's medical situation. Now, this, of course, was well within their rights to do that. I have a problem with socialist medicine where you force the government to force others to pay for your child's care.
See,
I have a problem with that.
That's the difference between charity and coercion.
That's right.
Charity is willing giving out of my pocket to you. Coercion by the government socialized medicine is the government comes over and pulls my wallet out, empties it, and then gives it to you.
Parents have no right to go door to door with a shotgun and require every one of their neighbors to fork over $1,000 to provide for $1 million treatment for their child. Friends, that shouldn't happen. That's a violation of the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And to force the government to do that is a similar problem. And so the principal issue is that parents ought to have the rights to make the decision relating to their children's medical care, yet the economic responsibility should also lie with the parents. We've had a little bit of pushback on this issue from those out there. I think, again, it's an economic question whether parents are going to dedicate the monies to provide for the medical care for their child. To force the socialist governments to do that is where the problem gets very, very complicated. And so too many doctors are tyrants. Then the state itself turns into a tyrant. Now, you add medical tyranny to a status tyranny, and you get tyranny squared. And that, I think, is the problem. That's what people are going to run into as they continue to see socialist medicine annihilate parental rights and individual rights in this country. It's the socialist medicine that's the ultimate nightmare here. You know, I don't hear anybody calling for a repeal of Britain's National Health Service Act of 1946. And this is the issue, Bill. The British National Health Service Act of 1946 brought in government services, government medical services provided free at the point of use. These services were financed from central taxation and everyone was eligible to care, even people temporarily resident or visiting the country. That was the law that was incorporated in 1946. Remember, socialist medicine came to Britain in 1946, and this is the root of the problem. To debate any other issue is futile, my friends. To sit around saying, well, now, the government should have. At the end of the day, the government is going to make a decision as to whatever the government's going to do, because the government funds, well, the government will control what it funds. The Brits are on the dole. They're not free. They're not a free people. And I think they need to realize this, that they are enslaved to the socialist state. Charlie Gard's parents need to understand that they are enslaved to the state in Britain. Why doesn't anybody want to admit this thing, that government paid for the child? The government can call the shots on the medical decisions for the child, and there's not much you can do if the government wants to pay to kill the child. At the very least, I think we need to be honest about this, Bill. We just need to say, if we've turned the funding of the medical care for this child over to the government, then the government has the right to call the shots on that child's medical care. They're paying the bills. They call the shots. That's the way it works. Now, granted, yes, big medicine tends to be tyrannical. Big governments tend to be tyrannical. Well, what's the solution for this? The solution for this is to repeal the National Health Service Act of 1946. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime too soon for the Brits.
I don't think so.
And why not?
Because their worldview has been shaped
over the
past 60 years.
That's right. It's been a very long time and they're on the dole. You put everybody on the plantation, you put everybody on the dole for a period of 60 years, they're going to have a slave mentality. And that's what's going on with the Brits.
And so what you have is you have the plantation and you have the field slaves. Those are the ones who are at the bottom. And then you have the house slave. He gets to wear the white gloves and the nice looking coat and suit. And he thinks, you know, he's on the top of the rung. But he's no less a slave than the field hand.
Mm.
And we have become that way in the United States as well through the educational process. So you're right. If Britain would repeal that, then there would be liberty once again. Now, it would scare people because suddenly they're off the plantation and Massa isn't providing everything and they're responsible and they have to take care of themselves. And that is always frightening.
The Bible assumes that that individual families are going to be responsible for the material well-being of the family. According to 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man does not provide for the material well-being of his family, he's denied the faith, he's worse than an infidel. Nothing there about turning our widows over to the state. Well, there's something about the widows being cared for by the family. There's something there, the widows whose whose sons and grandsons are all infidels, are taken care of by the church. So that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5. But the Bible does not present a socialist approach to the handling of the poor. What we find when it comes to taxation, the poor shall not pay less, the rich shall not pay more. This is what we find in Exodus chapter 30. The Bible is not a socialist manual, my friends. The government is not responsible for taking care of the poor in the Word of God, according to the Word of God. It's a voluntary, local form of distribution we find when it comes to charity. Bible allows for the fields, the edges of the fields to be reaped by the poor. The Bible allows for a tithe, it's called the poor tithe, on an every 3-year basis, a 10% tithe, which would come down to about 3.3% per family tithe. Now, of course, this is a voluntary tithe, provided for by individuals and not coerced by the government. Friends, this is what the Word of God has set out for the handling of the poor. You ignore the Word of God, you're going to find a mess. You're going to find a tyrannical government controlling the hearts, the minds, the families, the children, the medical decisions that are to be made for the children for the benefit of hundreds of millions of people. And friends, this is called tyranny. The Bible actually affirms parental rights and prerogatives as well. And I know this is a shock to people's systems, but the Bible does place a great deal of responsibility and rights at the feet of the father in the home. You think of Exodus 22:16, if a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for the virgins. That is, it's not the state that imposes, it's the father that imposes. The Bible presents a great deal of responsibility and rights to the father. The state is not the one that receives the fees and the fines, it's the father that receives the fees and the fines. Rousseau and Marx would be horrified by this kind of stuff, yes, because Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx did their best to abolish the family. Karl Marx of the Communist Manifesto said the family is to be abolished, the family economy is to be abolished, and we are to replace home education with social. This was basic for communism, and of course the communist agenda has been very much accomplished in most of the quote-unquote free nations, now not free very much anymore, throughout the Western world. Exodus 22:22 also says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined. And the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, this is a lex talionis, but it also presents clear and distinct lines where governments are supposed to get involved in domestic fights, angry outbursts, and that is when there is lasting harm. See, again, governments want to violate parental rights and violate family freedoms over and over again. They want to control what goes on in homes, where they want to make decisions as to what happens with the child custody issue in so many hundreds and thousands of cases in which governments are not to cross that line.
We talk a lot about jurisdiction at Worldview Academy.
Yeah, and this one lays out that jurisdiction. It says, okay, the government crosses the line when there is some substantial harm, when there's some lasting, knocks out a tooth, cuts off a hand, et cetera, life for life. Let's say the father took the life of his child. Well, in that case, it's capital punishment, life for life. So yes, there are points at which the government steps over, but friends, not in issues of certain forms of negligence, certainly not in the area of education, certainly not in the area of health care, not in the area of the diet of the child. The government is not calling the shots as to how many Diet Pepsis your 12-year-old gets to drink on any given week. You know, this kind of socialist mentality that's been inculcated into our kids' brains through our socialist schools over the last 3 to 4 generations completely violates the concept of parental jurisdiction.
You know, it's interesting because even at Worldview Academy, it's hard for students to grasp this idea of the role of government being limited to merely defense. And what happens is they go, I ask students often, I said, does the government have any responsibility to care for the poor? And there's always this, you know, this kind of quizzical look, you know, this knitting of brows, and they're trying to get work their way through this during the course of the discussion. And I clarify it by just asking this question. I said, so when you need $5, where do you go? And the answer is always, well, I go to mom and dad. I said, what's the first line of defense if someone is in need? Oh, it's the family. I said, what if there isn't any family? Well, I guess it's the government. No. I said, look in James. It says widows and orphans. Those are those without families, and the church steps in. Mm-hmm. The government is not even mentioned in the scriptures about taking care of the poor. Yeah. And even with widows and orphans, it's only the church only assists until they can get on their feet. It's personal, individual responsibility, and it's hard even for the majority of our students who are homeschooled to grasp this because of the infiltration of the culture's mentality and worldview in every aspect of our lives.
It's all around us, Bill. It's all around us. Frogs in the boiling water. We've been raised with this. Hey, the Brits have had it since 1946. We've had it since what? 2012? Well, I mean, we've been socialized.
It's back in the 70s.
And Medicaid and Medicare and all that back in the 70s. Well, yeah, it's a slow but steady thing as the frogs are warming up to the slowly boiling water. And friends, we have got to contrast the wicked, wicked approach of Karl Marx and Jean-Jacques Rousseau and others to what the Word of God says. And that's the purpose of this radio program, to wake you up to the realities of God's worldview and how God wants us to deal with the poor and how God wants us to maintain strong jurisdictional lines between family, church, and state. Hey, there have been some positives on the Charlie Gard case, and we're thankful that in God's providence, Charlie Gard struck a chord with millions of people around the globe. There's been tremendous support poured out for Charlie Gard and his parents. Now, sadly, Charlie passed away, and his parents were not able, did not have the freedom to make the choice and to actually expend the $1.4 million they had raised to help their little son. There may be also be an opening to gain a little political ground on parental rights in the United States. Senator Lindsey Graham just yesterday introduced legislation in the U.S. Senate to propose a parental rights amendment to U.S. Constitution. So it's been a little bit of an opening of the conversation concerning parental rights, and perhaps we might be able to develop a little bit more of protection for parental rights here in the United States, although we have seen a slow but steady erosion of parental rights, and this will be a challenge for our children and our grandchildren as they try to raise their children in the succeeding generations. They're going to have a very hard time standing against the statist approach, the statist attempt to control every aspect of their children's diet, education, and health care. Friends, it's going to be a major battle for our children and grandchildren against the rising socialist state in this country. Why? Because seven Republicans refused to take the stand against socialist medicine, Obamacare, in the last vote on Monday. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I encourage you to be sure that you at least educate your children in a proper biblical worldview. Get a copy of our little book, What Does the Bible Say About That? For 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds. We've got a very simple presentation of a biblical worldview in a little book called What Does the Bible Say About That? Specifically designed for 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 24-year-olds, 28-year-olds, and 35-year-olds. If you do not know what the Bible says about family, church, and state, if you don't know what the Bible says about guns, if you don't know what the Bible says about politics, if you don't know what the Bible says about truth, epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, this is the most simple introduction to a biblical worldview I think you're going to find anywhere. It's called What Does the Bible Say About That? A little book available at our website, kevinswanson.com. or generations.org. Get a copy of What Does the Bible Say About That today at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd. And experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. It's Thursday, August 3rd, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Angry Buddhists recently attacked members of the Christian church in Myanmar for holding late-night services to praise God for the conversions of new brothers and sisters in Christ. Over 100 Buddhists went to the homes of the Christians, broke the windows, and injured a few people. The World View spoke to Pastor Mark Robinette of Missions to Myanmar, who regularly ministers there.
Right now, this type of violence is really to be expected, especially when people are celebrating overt conversions from Buddhism. So right now, it's actually illegal to convert from Buddhism to Christianity without getting governmental permission, believe it or not. It's a new law that the Christian Liberty Association is trying to show as unconstitutional, according to Myanmar's new form of government.
Pray that these attacks would not dissuade Christians from celebrating more lost lambs coming into the fold of Jesus Christ. World Watch Monitor reports that Iranian Christian Maryam Nagash Zargaran was released on Tuesday after 4 years of imprisonment at Tehran's Evin prison. Officials originally questioned Maryam about her ministry with house churches in 2010. Eventually, she was arrested in 2013 in connection with her work at an orphanage and charged with acting, quote, according to an anti-security agenda to spread Christianity in Iran in order to pervert Iranian society from Islam, unquote. While in prison, Maryam was harassed and denied medical treatment on multiple occasions. In the past few months, over 20 Iranian converts from Islam to Christianity have been sentenced to at least 10 years in prison. Please pray for our imprisoned brothers and sisters. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. The New Zealand Parliamentary Health Committee submitted a report earlier this week to their House of Representatives rejecting doctor-assisted suicide and euthanasia. The committee refused to recommend that the Crimes Act be amended to allow for these forms of murder. Since last year, the committee has considered nearly 23,000 submissions on the issue, with 80% opposed to euthanasia. Yesterday, Statistics Canada released census data from last year, indicating that traditional families in Canada have reached a new low in the country's 150-year history. At 28.2%, the most common household is now a single person living by themselves. An average of 5.6 people composed a household in 1871. As of last year, that number has dropped to 2.4 people. But God said in Psalm 127:3, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. President Donald Trump tweeted Monday that he would end Obamacare exemptions for Congress members if, quote, a new health care bill is not approved quickly, unquote. This comes after multiple failed attempts to pass a bill on health care by Congress. U.S. Representative Ben Ray Lujan, the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, told The Hill in a recent interview that Democrats will not refuse financial backing for candidates opposed to the murder of the unborn. Lujan said, quote, there is not a litmus test for Democratic candidates, unquote, and that the party would need to be, quote, a big family in order to win the House back, unquote. The Dow Jones Industrial Average broke the 22,000 mark for the first time yesterday, according to Fox News, and Apple's quarterly iPhone sales resulted in its stock surging by more than 6%, beating expectations. LifeSite News reports that over 100,000 people are alive today in Northern Ireland, thanks to Ireland's refusal to adopt Britain's 1967 abortion law. The pro-life group Both Lives Matter took flak recently for highlighting this saving of life, but was vindicated by the Advertising Standards Authority in Northern Ireland. Psalm 72:13-14 says, he has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, August 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.